Hello, we are reading in the book Rabash, the Social Writings, on page 232, article The Need for Love of Friends. You can ask questions at cab.tv, selected questions related to the lesson topic you can ask during the lesson. Again, Rabash, the Social Writings, on page 232, article The Need for Love of Friends. There are many merits to it. One, it brings one out of self-love and to love of others. It is as Rabbi Akiva said, love thy friend as thyself is the great rule of the Torah, since by that he can come to love the Creator. However, we should know that loving others or working for the benefit of others is not the purpose of creation, as the secular understand it. The world was not created for one to do favors to another. Rather, the world was created for each one to receive pleasure for himself. Saying that we must work to benefit others is only the correction of creation, not the purpose of creation. The correction is so that there will not be the matter of shame. So there was a correction of bestowal, which is the only way for the creatures to receive the complete delight and pleasure for themselves without the floor of shame.
When we come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we want to get this wisdom. We want to know what's going there in the upper world, how to see it, to discover it, to feel it, the upper force, the providence, guidance, what happens, what will happen, to know this system that is operating and managing our world and us. And we don't quite hear, because we only hear through our ego, through our will to receive, and all of us are this way, so we only hear selectively, in a selective manner, what is good for us, or could be, or what could be bad for us, what is dangerous for us, that we hear. And all the other things, whatever our will to receive is influenced by, either for the better or for the worse, that we sense. And love of friends, love thy friend as thyself, that we, it kind of passes us by the ear. And it takes a long time for a person until, through the study and dissemination and the group that all in, is included in it, it begins to understand that it's not just about, you know, love of friends, being good children like in the kindergarten, but rather that this is a principle at a totally different level. It operates in a different level. It's comes from the breaking of the soul, of the vessels, meaning from a single soul that was broken, and our whole world comes from that, and we have to unite those parts, therefore, all these parts of this one soul, and to the extent that we put them together, we begin to sense the upper world. Therefore, a person following many years only begins to be ready to hear something about love of friends. Therefore, what Rabash writes to us here is not really heard by the newcomers. Those who are more advanced, it sounds to them like a means, truly a means, a necessary means, and also a desire, one that is desirable if one is even more advanced than they already accepted. They agree with it. They see the need for it, the benefit towards connection. That by that we truly attain the world of Ein Sof. Yes.
In that regard, we should interpret what the Zohar says about the verse, but sin is a reproach to any people. All the good that they do for themselves. We can interpret all the good, meaning the acts of grace that they do, as referring to their intention, which is called for them, meaning for themselves. This means that it is according to their own understanding, and not that we were given the keeping of love thy friend as thyself, as a commandment of the Creator, who created the world with the aim to do good to His creations. The mitzvot, the commandments that we were given, are only to cleanse people by which they will achieve dvekut, adhesion with the Creator, who will help them receive delight and pleasure, and they will remain in dvekut, adhesion with the Creator. 2. By the friends uniting into a single unit, they receive strength to appreciate the purpose of their work, to achieve lishma, for her name. Also, the rule by which they were brought up is, as Maimonides said, women, children, and ordinary people are taught to work out of fear and to receive reward until they gain knowledge and acquire much wisdom. And then they are taught that secret bit by bit. And since we must wait until they acquire much wisdom to tell them that they need to work in lishma, and a great number among the masses naturally remains in lo lishma, not for her name. And since the minority naturally annuls before the majority, when the friends wish to walk on the path that leads to lishma, to avoid annulment before the collective, the friends unite, and each one is dedicated to the others. Their aim is to achieve love of the Creator, which is the purpose, through the love of others. As it is written, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." It follows that by becoming one collective, although it is a small collective, they are already regarded as a majority. And this majority is not enslaved to the majority of the collective. Thus, they can work in love of friends with the aim to achieve the love of the Creator.
Meaning, there is a possibility, even though that those who are drawn towards the purpose, the goal of creation, with those with the sparks, with the point in the heart, are few, as written, you are few from all the nations, from all the people who simply want the corporeal lusts, desires of this world. Those who are drawn, who desire to discover the Creator, are few, but if they connect between them, they can reach an intensity that is even greater than the intensity of the human masses, collective, because they have a qualitative force. There is one who is mighty in quantity and there is one who is mighty in quality. And in quality, it's a stronger force. Therefore, even if 10 unite and they have this connection between them, and they scrutinize for themselves the goal and they want to reach it, then the force that they manufacture between them is far greater than the external force of the great society of millions around them, so that they can be not influenced by the broad society where there is the quantitative force, because they establish for themselves a small society, a small group, then they can advance, because a person is influenced by his society, that is his only free choice, that is choosing his society. So if he keeps annulling himself more and more towards that small society, he can be certain that by that he's going to reach the goal. To the extent of his self-annulment, his connection, annulling himself and connecting with the society, the more and more one is focused and concentrated on that, by that he reaches the goal, because the goal is in the center of that small group.
And although the commandment to love your friend as yourself applies to the whole of Israel, the whole of Israel are not walking on the path of coming from love of others to love of the Creator. Also, there is a rule that when people unite, they absorb each other's views. And the matter of lishma, the essential aim of Torah and mitzvot, has not yet been fixed in a man's heart, meaning that the main intention is that through keeping Torah and mitzvot, they can achieve lishma. Hence, by bonding with others, the views of the others weaken his view of lishma. For this reason, it is better to serve and to bond with the kind of people who understand that the matter of love thy friend as thyself is only a means to achieve the love of the Creator. And not because of self-love, but that his whole aim will be to benefit the Creator. Hence, one should be careful in bonding and know with whom one bonds. This is the benefit of love of friends in a special group, where everyone has a single goal of achieving love of the Creator. But when bonding with regular people, although they engage in Torah and mitzvot, they aren't on the path of achieving the aim to bestow upon the Creator, since they were brought up in order to receive, called lo lishma. Hence, if they unite with them, they will adopt their views, and afterwards they will say that it is better to not walk on the path of achieving lishma, because lishma is more difficult than lo lishma, since lishma is against nature. For this reason, one should be careful not to bond with people who haven't acquired much knowledge and still haven't come to know that the essence of the work of the Creator is to benefit the Creator and not to benefit themselves. But the matter of love thy friend as thyself applies to the whole of Israel. Yet, we were given the keeping of knowing with whom to bond in advance. And the reason is that before a person is rewarded with exiting self-love, he always feels that it is hard. This is because the body resists it. And if he is in an environment of a group of people who are united under one view that considers the goal and not the work, then his goal will not weaken in him. But if he is not always together with his friends, it is very difficult for one to hang on to the goal of bestowal. He needs heaven's mercy to not grow weak in his mind, which previously realized that it was better to work and to walk on the path of the work of bestowal. And all of a sudden, he gets thoughts that it is better to follow the crowd, that one shouldn't be an exception. Although, while he was united with the friends, he thought differently. It is as we said above, while he is not bonded with the collective of the small group, he immediately surrenders to the collective of the masses, and absorbs their views that it is enough to keep Torah and mitzvot in all its details and precisions, and to aim that we are keeping the King's commandment, who commanded us through Moses and through the sages following him. We settle for that, since we will receive reward for it. And we believe in our sages who told us, trust your landlord to pay you for your work. And why should we think about anything more than that? As they say, if we keep that, it is enough.
Meaning those are the conditions of the quality of bestowal that we have to reach, faith is called bestowal. I believe means, in other words, that I have the force to bestow, the ability to bestow.
It is as Rabbi Hanania, son of Akashia, says, the Creator wished to reward Israel, so He gave them plentiful Torah and mitzvot. This means that all the Torah and mitzvot that we were given are so we may have a great reward. Thus, now the person has become smarter than he was while he was united in the society, when he understood that one simply needs to work for the Creator and not for his own benefit, and one needs to come out of self-love and be rewarded with dvekut, with adhesion with the Creator. And although he saw that it was difficult to come out of self-love, he realized that this was a true path, meaning that a person should come to work lishma. But while he is separated from that society, he immediately falls into the majority view, which is the majority of the world. In other words, the majority of Israel has not yet come to what Maimonides said. Until they gain much wisdom, they are told that secret, which is the necessity to work lishma. And when that person enters the society whose way is that it is necessary to achieve lishma, the question arises, how did this person end up in such a place? We must believe that it came from above. Accordingly, we should understand why, afterwards, he drifts away from the society. We should say, as Bala Sulam said, that when a person begins to walk on the path of lishma, and certainly this aim comes to a person who is given an awakening to the path of truth, and afterwards, for some reason, he is negligent in this work and relapses to the ordinary path of the collective, he asks, why is he not given another awakening from above? He gave an allegory about that. It is similar to a person who is swimming in the river. Halfway across the river, he grows weak, and a person swimming next to him gives him a push, so he will start swimming by himself. The person who is trying to save him gives a few pushes. But if he sees that he doesn't participate, he leaves him and moves away. Only when he sees that when he pushes him, he begins to swim by himself, does he keep pushing him each time until he's out of danger? But if he doesn't participate, he leaves him. It is the same in the work. A person receives an awakening from above, so he will come to a place where people work knowingly in order to achieve being, in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator. And a person is given several awakenings, but if he doesn't make an effort to reach that, he finds excuses for himself and must escape the campaign. Thus, a person remains righteous, that is, by leaving this society, he is always right. And by justifying himself, he truly feels that he is righteous. Therefore, one must cling to the society. And since they are united, they are regarded as a collective too. However, theirs is a big collective, while his society is a small collective. And yet, a collective does not annul before a collective. 3. There is a special power in the adhesion of friends. Since views and thoughts pass from one to the other through the adhesion between them, each is mingled with the power of the other, and by that, each person in the group has the power of the entire group. For this reason, although each person is an individual, He contains the power of the entire group.
I have nothing to add. Yes.
In order to bestow, is there the mercy of above, the mercy of heaven?
Mercy, heaven's mercy in order to reach bestow? Well, it depends on what a person feels as mercy. We say he gave a law that cannot be breached. We are in a system of laws. And here there's no bias towards anyone or change of attitude from above with respect to a person or from the environment, from the outside. It doesn't matter how you depict it. Nothing changes. We are in the upper light, and all the changes are ones that a person invites. There is the upper light, which is in complete, absolute rest. There are these shimot awakening us, and they awaken as a result of the shattering. Therefore, we always have negative shimot that awaken, because we are the result of the breaking. Therefore, it seems to a person that his life are harsh. Nature, maybe the creator, the upper force, I don't know how one depicts it for himself, is treating him badly. But in truth, this is due to the broken Rishimot that keep awakening him every second, every moment. And of course, that feels bad. That's bad. What can you do? What can it be? Now, if a person develops through this Rishimot that push him to constantly run away from the evil that is disclosed. I want to sleep, I want to eat, I want this, I want that. Suddenly something scares me. Suddenly something seems dangerous. This is how one lives the whole time under all kinds of pressures. Our entire life is about how on top of every Rishima, every record, I will arrange for myself some sort of protective mechanism. And this is how humanity evolves. Have better house, better clothing, more money, greater support, an army, all kinds of things. One against the other. All of this is in order to not feel these Rishimot as they are. Until we reach the development of the Rishimot in such a way, through the still vegetative, animate, and living, those types, into a point where we begin to ask, why? What is going on here? Where is it coming from? What is this mythology, the systematic manner in which I go through these things? And from generation to generation, we can start learn. This is what Abraham started asking. And then we discover that it is possible not to always protect ourselves from the state that the Rishimo is revealing to you as the negative state. No, it's impossible to work in a different method, because otherwise you're going to be in crisis and crisis the whole time. So let's try a different method. We'll take the Rishimo itself. We won't work against it. That we are trying to protect ourselves from that situation that awakens in me, because I see the reality within me. The Rishima within me paints the whole world within me. I and the Rishima is the world. The Rishima is a state. It's not just an impression. It's a state that is now being revealed. Now, the way that I now sense the world, myself and you and everything, that's my present Rishimo that is now operating within me. And then it awakens within me, in my mind and heart, the picture of the world with all of the details that are in it. So what do I do with it? So there is a totally different method. Don't fight those states. Don't fight with them. Rather, you need to take that situation and to begin to balance it with the light. You have the light, the general force of bestowal, and you have the Reshimo, which is opposite the bestowal, because it is broken. It comes out of the broken state. So try to do the following. Try to change the Reshimo itself. Not to change it in its essence, in it being broken, but rather to invert it into not broken. That state that the Reshimo evokes in you, make it whole, complete. Through what? Through the light. You can do that through the light. This is what we learn. Meaning, it's a method of having a different attitude towards reality. By that, we're not, therefore, going along with the religions and faiths and science of the entire attitude that a man has towards life. None of that. Because all of those things, we've created them. We've created them throughout our history in order to shield, protect ourselves, in order to build a kind of a home, a house, a shelter, a case over ourselves, to be shielded against those problems, those troubles, one with respect to another, and with respect to nature, and with respect to everything. So, no, they tell us, no, this is a path that ultimately will show you, will lead you to failure. You have to work on the Reshimo itself. If you correct it, that it comes, arrives broken, and you correct it to the opposite, in accordance with the light, to the force that operates it, to the force that gives it its energy, that operates the Reshimo, it comes from the light. And also in physics, we see that. We discover that. Then you are working in a completely different way. You're working, first of all, not in a way like this little creature that is constantly trying to defend itself, that is constantly frightened about what's going to happen to it. And that's its entire life. Rather, you are now going to work with creation. You're being, the sages explained to you, and that they went through this and they discovered this through their experience. How that same light which stole, bestowal, and you are, your entire Shimo is from reception, it's the opposite of the light. How you can resemble, adapt your Reshimo, the Reshimo to the general force of bestowal. And then you don't have to protect yourself, to shield yourself. To the contrary, you enter from a world where you want to suffer as little as possible, and your entire life is a struggle. You enter a state or a world, it's the same thing. You enter a world which is all good. This is actually the principle and the paradigm, in the new paradigm that the wisdom of Kabbalah is saying, that this is how you need to treat life. But until we reached our present time, only unique individuals were in it. And now, in the human development, we reached a state where each and every one is beginning to absorb, to grasp, to be aware that there is here this course, this direction in our development, that there is some, apparently some goal, and we have to relate to our lives in a different manner. We can't keep going as before. And the Reshimot that awaken are already such that they obligate us to change our attitude. So, the attitude should be that we are working on the Reshimo itself. We don't try to build around it some protective shield against all of the negative phenomena that it evokes within us, rather to change it in its foundation, meaning from being broken to being complete and whole.
Meaning that a person who is on the path until he comes to being, in order to be low, in order to bestow, then he doesn't have mercy. He doesn't come out.
There's no mercy and no judgment. What you can't see from life, where do you see mercy and judgment? Where is there such a thing? We have to realize that this entire dictionary, people have created it in order to have invented it, in order to speak about their lives in such a way. There's no such thing. We are under a law that he gave and shall not be breached. The upper light is in absolute rest, meaning in constant bestowal. If you adapt yourself to it, you feel better, you say mercy. If you don't adapt yourself to it, you feel the opposite, which you called judgment. That's all.
How could that be? We're similar to the Creator created us.
Oh, we're talking about you. No, it's just words to say that we are like the Creator. No, I don't agree with that. Of your initial point that we are like the Creator.
We have mercy.
What mercy?
I see you. There are students.
Excuse me. You want to talk to me? Talk from point of science. That's it. There's no judgment, no mercy, nothing. We are in a world of laws.
That you stand next to someone. We are supposed to be like people. So you see that you don't want to determine something for him, and then some point comes where you are merciful for him.
And if you don't feel that like that? Well, Jews, you say, the Jews always have mercy. That's a psychology. What do you mean?
There is this mercifulness.
Well, because Jews suffered a lot in history, you have more mercy in us.
So where does that come from?
From previous suffering. From previous suffering that you identify with others. Because you're afraid that you also suffer the same, because already you have this experience that it could be. It might happen. Out of your ego, where is it coming from?
Meaning we have no mercifulness on us?
There's no such thing as mercy. The whole world is an egoistical desire to receive, and that's it. Only this desire to receive has many manners. I want to enjoy. If I look at someone and he's suffering, then I feel that it gives me some suffering because I identify with him. It evokes in me a reshimot from the fact that I also once suffered. Or maybe I heard about his suffering, or it could be. And therefore I identify with him, and therefore I also suffer as a result. And instead of looking at that suffering, you'd prefer to look at something good. I wish that there were no suffering. Why? Because it harms me. But sometimes I see that somebody is actually suffering a little bit, and thanks God I'm not. Then I feel good about it, because I feel myself in a better state than he is. Then I enjoy that. I enjoy the others' suffering. You don't want to be greater than the others? I do, you do. Then it's not, I do, so it's not suffering. Well, it's also suffering, but not that you don't determine this to be a suffering. Because you want to be greater, you want to be more in control, more understanding, richer, healthier, and so on and so forth. So, you nourish yourself from the suffering of others. And I'll sign on that. Check it out and you'll see that I'm right. Where is your mercy?
So then you come and say that mom and dad, who told us to be merciful all the time, and the mother is merciful towards her, maybe.
Because nature obligates her. Wait a minute. This big bear, big mom. She had 500, half a ton, and she has this little baby. Doesn't she care for him, love him, take care of him? Tell me, this is just the animal degree. It's not even man's psychology. It's bestiality. It's just an animal. Let's make an injection and have some sort of detachment between the mother and the baby, and you'll see that she doesn't look at him, just as like she doesn't look at the baby, at the neighbor's baby. Does she care about what happens there? She only cares about her baby, and it's especially in mothers. It's very evident because it's a very strong force that is given to her by nature in order to continue the generations.
Meaning the law of It's one way of being like a god, saying, either do this or die.
According to our development, our awareness throughout history keeps rising, our awareness, and then according to that, we feel more and more qualitative blows in order to develop us, until we begin to feel, I am receiving this methodically, systematically, I'm receiving this from a particular source, particular origin, and that origin wants me, well, he has a certain thought about me, he has a desire, he has an intention, he has a goal, he wants something out of me. The life that I go through, having them a certain causality and a certain purpose. I begin to grasp out of my experience in life, having grown in my mind, having developed for thousands of years, that there is some system here, some motor, some engine. And not many people think that way. And then I see, and it's not some godliness, you know, some, as people think about the Creator, whatever they think, rather they see that this is nature, this is life. And they begin to investigate it, to research it. This is Abraham, for example. He's actually the first scientist that explored nature and found out that it's all one force that operates on us, and its goal is to bring us to that same degree as him. That's all. And all of the reshimot that are disclosed in us, that we keep changing by, are all in all, and they confuse us, and they're very different in their characters, all of these different reshimot that are being constantly revealed in us. It's all that, so that through all kinds of manners and causes, they want to direct us towards that one force, so that we can study it, its guidance and providence, and from that we can study as a child studies from his mother. So how should I be like it, like that force? Because that's the best possible state. And he wants us to be like him. The people of Israel should return all the way to the Creator.
Meaning you're coming and telling us here, look guys, don't expect mercifulness because you won't get it.
There's no change at all. There's mercy and judgment from above. Rather, you invite, according to your Shemot, the way you treat them, what is the form of the world that you will sense. Don't be stubborn. Just use your head now. Don't just go against whatever what I'm saying. Look, here we are. On the outside there is hashpa'a, bestowal, ahava, love. That's it. Well, netina, giving, a single force. We are on the inside. And here, on the inside, various reshimot are revealed in us. All kinds of reshimot on each and every one of us. And each and every one of us, there is this spiral in which that contains reshimot, and as though they're on a thread, and those reshimot are disclosed. And these reshimot in each and every one are disclosed from zero, from the beginning of creation, until the end of correction, in such a way. This is how they are revealed. Roshimot. Records. When a certain Roshimot is disclosed in me, and we have billions of them, then I feel in that Roshimot, compared with the force of bestowal that influences me, it fills everything up. Here, that force of bestowal is filling up all the space, the gaps between us. And it influences us from the outside, like that, all around us. This is called the surrounding light. If you want, it will become the light that reforms. If you want, it will become inner light. Whatever you want out of it, you'll receive it. It's a single light. So, within me, now, a particular Reshimo is revealed. That Reshimo is a state. My state towards the light. So the difference between me and the light, between me and the light, that contrast, that delta, is built, is that difference that is gives me my sensation of the world. As and I feel, perceive colors, sounds, still vegetative, animate, and human beings, all kinds of phenomena. How do I sense them? It's the difference between the reshimo, which is given, it's input, it's data. As in a computer, that you have a certain, let's say, database, and then through the computer, it comes out, and it's shown to you as a picture. That's what happens. Very simple. There's nothing other than that. The light, on the one hand, which is complete, 100% bestowal, love, we don't know what it is, but in the contrast between it and the reshimo, we perceive, we feel all these phenomena that we divide up into still vegetative, animate, and speaking. That's it. Now, these reshimot are constantly advancing, constantly developing, because they come from the breaking, and then they reach the correction from the lightest to the heaviest, in that order. And out of that, I perceive the picture of the world in which I am. This is what gives me life. That's what I feel. Now, up to a certain point, like with babies, that they develop, they don't know what happens to them, and then they begin to grasp light a little bit more and more, and you see age 3, 4, 5, and so on. Already the child has some independence, some thought. He begins to use his previous experience, he begins to understand what is happening here in the relationship between everyone, everything. He begins to understand things out of context, and so on. Similarly, with us. So up to a particular reshimo, let's say, up to here, I developed as the still vegetative and animate. And then I didn't have any free choice and nothing. Meaning I wasn't able to change, to enter myself into the reshimo and change something. Now, as I advanced to the degree of the speaking, at the beginning of that degree of speaking, the 21st century, then already I'm in a different state. Now I can change the reshimo. Meaning, I can change the way I use it. Until now, it was only in my will to receive. The way it was broken, that's what it projected to me, the breaking. And now, not anymore. Now, I can take the light and the reshimo and to begin to change it so that it won't be disclosed in me in a negative way. I want it to be disclosed in me in a manner which is not positive, but rather purposeful. That's the difference. Positive and negative is according to my belly, according to my will to receive. No, that's not going to help. It's not going to work. That will work only on the condition that it will be according to the goal to return to the corrected form. That's it. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah shows up and it explains those things to us. Try it and you'll see. Does it work? Good. It doesn't work? Well, but don't bring me your psychology and all of your science, because this is coming out of your experience, your attempt to live in a reshimo rather than change it. So it's not going to help anymore. Therefore, during our times, all of these theories and all of your practices, whatever you have, cannot help. They can't. And you can see, everyone is having this question mark. What do we do next? Nobody knows.
I'll ask this differently. Now there's a convention. Now, if we don't succeed at the convention, then it's eating the bread of death. So, I don't know about all these tales about coming to the convention or not. Just come there and now I get a ticket, go to the plane, and then travel to the United States. someone, how can I explain this? Someone is some kind of appreciation about your efforts. Leave the end result. On the path there, I'm exerting. I leave my family. I leave work, even if they fire me. I go to the United States to the convention. There is some kind of, on that effort, there is some kind of consideration in me.
Of course, of course. You'll come back from the convention, either in a state which is better or in a worse state. There will be a change. Certainly there will be a change, without a doubt. But as for me, for people like you, instead of flying to the United States, I would tell you, fly to Uman, to some other Hasidic place. There the Hasidic people come. That they are actually searching for mercy again. A little bit of a good attitude on behalf of the Creator. There you will receive support from the wife. She tells him, go there, bring me something back for us to feel better. Our children will behave healthier, we'll have a better income, we'll have a better house, you'll love me more, everything will be fine. Why are you going to that convention so that where you're supposed to love the friends more? I'm supposed to love this world less? I'm supposed to only enter the love of the Creator, which gives me nothing in this corporeal life, only for me to have a greater force of bestowal and to do it for the others, for humanity. So your wife is going to ask you, what about us? Well, what about you? Oh, for you, a necessity is enough. So she's going to tell you, go to the States? No, she's going to say, go to Uman. That is your inner woman, wife, not the external one. Is that what you are now speaking, right, on her behalf? Yes, Maurice.
Good morning, Rav, and friends around the world. There is here in the first paragraph, and I want to you to explain to me how to understand that. It says that the love of friends is the correction of creation, not the purpose of creation. So does that come down with the Reshimot?
That's a great difference also from the way that the world is approaching love to a friend as thyself, love of others that everybody is talking about. It's a principle difference that we approach it only as a condition. I mean, I'd have no need to love the others. I'm not pretending to make myself into some sort of a beautiful, pretty, silly boy who's smiling to everyone, and that's it. It's only because that takes us towards the goal, only because we discover that this is a law. It's the law of creation. It's a law of nature. And it's not about some nice relationships. Well, that's going to make us feel better. Let's have a picnic. No, this is about a law. And then this law determines the relationship that must be between us, that we call love. And then also the question should be, maybe it's not such relationships that I'm used to name love. Maybe it's a completely different order, a different type of relationship of interconnections. So the word could be labeled to completely different discernments that I'm used to, that word love. Yes.
Meaning that practically this process, if I try to relate it to the stemming down and the correction of creation, that's something that's a process that started from Rabbi Akiva, and then it turns out to be the correction of the Assembly of Israel?
No, it existed before Rabbi Akiva. It existed until Rabbi Akiva, love thy friend as thyself. It broke during Rabbi Akiva's time. It was broken. The 24,000 disciples, students that Rabbi Akiva had were at the height, like all of the people of Israel were until that destruction. They were at the height of love thy friend as thyself. And if they would come out of it, then there would be wars and all of that. You can read about it in the Bible, even though we don't at all understand those situations, the mess that was there. We think it's all corporeal, but it was both this and that. But all of this was really on a spiritual background. It was all about spirituality. So until Rabbi Akiva, everyone were in the awareness of the upper world, in the recognition of the Creator, truly so. And his 24,000 disciples were at the height of receive in order to bestow. That's called love. Bestow in order to bestow is only a preparation for that. And they fell. That's called the destruction. Yes?
If that's the case, so until Rabbi Akiva, where he says it's a great rule in the Torah,
he writes that because he yelled at his students, at his disciples, what is happening to you? Why are you falling? I mean, he understands, he knew that, but he had to extract the maximum exertion out of them. He knew it will take place, he knew that there will be a destruction, that's certain. But along with that, even in a state where we have to, according to our Reshimot, now to fall down and to be ruined and to enter the exile, we must realize this Reshimot with the maximum adhesion towards the light. Even at the time of falling down, of collapsing, as you fall down, you try to stop, you try to break. By that, you're creating great corrections for the future.
Should take this onward according to what you said earlier, according to the correction of creation, according to this article. This is the same difference between the light and our Reshimot?
That delta, this difference between the light and our Reshimot, is the contrast. How do I perceive sounds? The difference between the silence and a certain frequency. Colors. Everything comes from, how do you say, well, contrast in Hebrew. Nigud, contrast. Only through these contrasts do we perceive reality. So all of these contrasts that we have are ultimately with respect to the light. Reshimo contrasted with the light. All right?
Thank you very much. Olivia from France is saying, what is the sign that we can define the Reshimo in order to bestow?
In order to change the Reshimo from reception to bestow, because only then you'll feel good, and if you'll be drawn to be in reception, then you enter a crisis and a total collapse. Then in order to help you, you were given a reality called this world. What does it mean, this world? A type of Reshimo that show you, still that level, low level of Reshimo, that reveal to you a corporeal reality. What is a corporeal reality, a physical reality? It's the same Reshimot, only instead of perceiving them as forces, instead of forces, I perceive objects, as if. Images that have volume, time, movement, they occupy some space, but if you ask a physician, they'll tell you there's no such thing. These are all waves, not even particles. Because they say, we're now discovering that everything vanishes, everything crumbles. You don't have electrons, protons, you don't have anything. You simply have energy that is turning around. So what is an atom? It's a turning energy. It has no realistic figure image. Just particles that are turning, no such thing. So what are molecules? What are we? All of us are these energy, are such energy, a force. They're going to tell you that. However, we are in such low Reshimot that depict to us our state are in such a way. Why? So that we, through our work, with this depiction, can already express a certain identification with the light. I embrace you, I sit next to you, I eat and drink. Suddenly we have here eating and drinking, all kinds of such things, corporeal things. We have a certain, I can study with you about our advanced states. We are the Reshimot, right? Imagine for yourselves, here Reshimot are sitting. Now we say sparks, but these Reshimot are sitting here, sitting meaning being here in this space, and these Reshimot want to connect between them. They want to reach, to go back to a connected system, and by connecting, they adapt themselves to the light. But you can't immediately imagine Reshimot and the way it happens. So before you, you have faces, you have this kind of reality which the Reshimo is depicting in you, this low Reshimo. But there's nothing lower than this world. This is in order to help you begin the path, but later, and this is why it's called the imaginary, fictional world, later you rise from this state, from this world, into different other forms. And then you don't take into account those images, those imaginary, fictional images. And you work with the forces, with their essence, meaning with the Reshimo in them. How to put them together, in what way, etc. And all of this is with respect to the light that is between us. That's it. Therefore, it's not about love thy friend as thyself. I do good to this Reshimo, to this Reshimo, to this Reshimo. Rather, all of us together, in order to adapt ourselves to the light that is amongst us. The picture is very simple. There's no more than two things here. Reshimot and the light. And how the Reshimot should adapt themselves towards the light. And the light is constant, is absolute. Tzvika says, where is the judgment and the mercy? You try to be with it according to your level of development. You try to be in accordance with it. And then you feel mercy. If you don't try to adapt yourself to it, then you feel judgment. It's the very same light, the same creator. Either he works on you like Pharaoh, or like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the creator. Or either it's Haman, or the creator. Same thing, HaShverosh. There's nothing here. That's why we begin with in the light, we begin by saying there is none else but Him in the light. Only He operates. Because He's an absolute, the one who is good and does good. There are no changes in Him. All the changes are in the Reshimot. They change. Now, you can change the Reshimot. Now comes the question. If I'm a Reshimo, and I'm in the light, and the Reshimo comes from within, the light is on the outside. How can I change it? What can I change? I can't change the Reshimo, and I can't change the light. You're told, because you are broken, you were given an opportunity to change yourself. Specifically from, as a result of the breaking, if you start bonding with the others, and establishing with them together a system that is similar to the light, like you're given a broken game, a puzzle, or a Lego, or and so on. By that, you learn what the light is. If you put together all of the Reshimot in a way that they'll have bestowed between them, then you will be like the light. This is called the adhesion of the creature in the creator. Everything is so simple. Right? Yes.
Continuing to what Tzvika said in relation to the inner woman. You talked about the inner woman.
Maybe external also. Who knows, according to the Reshimot, what they evoke in you. There's one that for him, an inner woman is enough, and others must be given an acceleration in their development, so they're given also an external woman like that. Kabbalists often had very difficult, very harsh women. In externality, I mean.
Yeah, but we understand it's inside. How do I correct the relationship with the expression of the inner woman in relation to the external woman?
No, don't talk to Tzvika about that. You're now switching to psychology. We should go according to the laws of nature that are now being revealed. And according to those laws, I must relate to everything, including the home, the family, the children, the wife. And then it will develop in the good and correct way. That's it. All right, let's move on. Okay, now Asher.
This elevation above good and bad that you spoke about, there's something in the middle. This is the point of awareness that develops, or is it some kind of, or we need to get some kind of certain level of awareness in order to get to that initial point?
You simply have to, you receive Reshimot, the Reshimot bring you to a group. In the group you receive additional materials, a teacher, guidance, friends, support, and then carry on. That's it. It's all included in the Reshimot, and let's move on to the next part.
We're going to the next part of the lesson.